Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are doing good and hope that the week is treating you well. So this week on the podcast is a guy called Ethan Jabowski. Ethan is a YouTube food creator. I came across his videos a couple of months ago and I really liked what he did. It was he kind of creates videos for the home cook that allows people to make cooking easier at home, which I think is really important. So I just randomly slid into his DMs and was like, do you want to jump on the podcast and talk about it? And he was like, yeah, sweet. So, we sat down and this is the conversation. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you do. Without further ado, Ethan Jabowski. And we're live. Ethan, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good, Will. How about yourself?
Good, dude. Whereabouts are you in the world right now?
So I'm in Carlsbad, California. Okay. So it's right on the coast, about an hour and a half south of LA.
And it's pretty early in the morning right now, 7:30 a.m.
Yeah. Early morning.
So what's this routine about? I want to know. Is there a reason why you get up so early? Well, it's not too early. It's kind of normal.
It's not super early, but yeah, it's just to get some consistency. So like when you're doing... What I found, like when I started doing this thing, like on my own, I was like, you know, I don't have to get up at a certain time. I don't have to answer to somebody. I don't have to do this. Don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But like, I decided, I was like, I need to set some consistency in my life, even though I don't need to have a set schedule. I like having a set schedule. So yeah. I was like, all right, we're going to set a daily alarm. It's going to go off at 7 every single day. You know, if I need to wake up earlier one day, I can do that. If I need to wake up a little later, I can always sleep in, but I try to make it a habit to get up at the same time every day.
Just do you go to bed at the same time
for the day?
Do you go to bed at the same time?
Reasonably within an hour or two, so probably like 11-ish.
You know? Okay,
so you're getting good amount. I always try to get a full 8 hours.
Yeah, that's a good amount. I since the whole like coronavirus, I've been trying to. I got this like Whoop strap, and it's been like measuring my sleep. And yeah, I knew I was bad at sleeping, but I didn't realize I was that bad. And I'm just like trying to go. I have to go to bed like even earlier to like relax and then actually get some sleep. And then I'm like borderline in like 6-7 hours and I feel great. But before that I was doing like 4-5 hours and it's not good for you at all.
Yeah, I know. I've actually never been able to do like little sleep like throughout my entire life, like school and stuff. Like people would like study late in the night and be like, no, like I'll be much better if I just go to bed and I'll wake up early and study or something or get work done. But I can't stay up and like be working past like 10 or 11.
Oh, yeah. I guess this is just the joys of my business is that we kind of have to. And
yeah,
because we haven't been touring for so long, it's like, I did a podcast with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about how like our schedules have just completely changed. Like sometimes on weekends we're not sleeping. We're going from one club to an airport to another hotel to a club, and we're not sleeping in between. And I think every performer or artist or DJ or whoever, whatever you are, when you're kind of in the entertainment business, you've just in the last 10 months have just caught up on all their sleep over the God knows how many years we've lost on our, of our lives. So much healthier. Yeah.
No, that's very true. Cause yeah, like, yeah, I mean, for a year, if you're doing concerts and things like that, like those things normally don't start until like 10, 11, then they go till God knows what time the next day in the morning.
Yeah. It's wild. It is wild. Have you ever heard of Matthew Whitaker?
No, I haven't.
So he has a book called Why We Sleep. I haven't read it yet, but I've listened to a podcast with him on, and it was just like, it scared the shit out of me, where he was like, how sleep is so important. And I know that sounds stupid. Yeah. Like we should think that sleep is so important, but he's like, if you don't have the 7 to 9 hours every day, you're like more likely to die of like Alzheimer's and shit like that. And it's like, we're never taught this at school.
No. Like, never.
We like, should
yeah,
be.
It's such like a simple thing to do, like just get an extra, you know, like hour of sleep. Like there's almost like something that we do during the day that like was probably not useful in any way that we could easily have just been like, all right, just go to bed an hour earlier.
Yeah. Or
versus staying up.
Do you like whatever? Do you like to work out or anything as well?
Yeah. So typically in quarantine, it's been a little weird, but I'll do a stretching routine first thing in the morning. I do like a 10-minute kind of stretching routine and like 5-minute stretch routine, 5-minute ab routine. And then with quarantine, I generally like to work out like during the day for, I'll do like a 20-30 minute like lift and then like a 10 or 15 minute run to like try to get out twice because I feel like I never leave my house. So
yeah, I feel that, man. I feel that. It's weird. I'm lucky I'm in the countryside, so I kind of get to like just go out and do as much as I can possibly, but
yeah,
I feel sorry for the people that are just like bang in the middle of a major city and just there's no parks, nothing out there, and you're just like, oh, lockdown must have been hard. However,
yeah, definitely feel like you're just stuck in sometimes.
Yeah,
but it is what it is. It's the new normal for now, I guess.
Exactly. It's probably going to be like this for a while as well, so we better get used to it. If we're not used to it now, we're 10 months in, it's like, come on people, let's get this sorted. However, I came across you a couple of months ago as pretty much everybody that follows me knows that I absolutely love food. And I came across your YouTube channel. And I just like fell in love with it. I think the brioche bun one that got me. I think it was that one. And I just carried on watching your videos. So for anybody that's listening, like, can you kind of explain what your YouTube channel is?
Yeah, absolutely. So I run a cooking channel. It's just under my name, Ethan Chabowski, and it's all about cooking dishes, but I guess specifically kind of pandering to the home cook. Like when I make videos, I try to think about, I want these people who are going to watch this to like actually make it. So I'm trying to give good instructions and also kind of help you understand the science or the why behind a technique. So not just here's a recipe, follow A to Z, but also why are we doing this? What are the differences between this technique, like a double fried French fry versus like a single fried, or why should you wash a French fry before you put it in the oil, things like that, to actually show why I'm doing these things. Because once you start understanding recipes, you become a much better cook. At least that's what my opinion is. So within my videos, I try to give recipes that people actually make, but also give a flavor of why we're doing things.
Okay. So why did you start this?
Yeah, so I've always been like into cooking. So growing up, my parents, they weren't cooks or chefs or anything, but we always just had home cooked meals. So I was exposed to cooking at an early age and then kind of took an interest in it. And just cooking for me growing up was just that fun thing to do. Like, I wasn't, looking back, it was probably more of like a creative outlet for me. I didn't realize that at the time. Like, I wasn't into like art or really wasn't into music that much or anything. I just did sports and then I liked cooking. But then growing up, so started cooking that way with, you know, my parents or grandparents, learning recipes, and then went to school, just continued cooking. I have a degree in accounting. And so after graduating in 2016, I started working for a consulting firm called Deloitte. It's one of the big four accounting firms. So I'm sure a lot of people know about it. Yeah. But so within that, started working for like 2 to 3 years, was traveling Monday through Thursday, basically every week on these projects, and kind of was missing cooking because I'm away more than half the week. You know, I'm away Monday through Thursday. I'm not being able to cook. And I'm just like eating out at restaurants, which is all good and stuff. But for someone who likes to spend time in the kitchen and make stuff, I was missing something. So I decided about a year in, just to like a year and a half in, maybe, I think it was June 2018. I think I released my first video and I was like, you know what? I'll just start posting. It'll be a fun weekend project when I actually am home on the weekends. And then at that time, I wasn't like, oh, I definitely want to try to do this full time. It was just like, this will be a fun weekend project. So I did that for a year and I was like, all right, I'll just try to post one video a year, again, with consistency kind of thing. Like, I like to just say, all right, I'm just going to do this, see where it goes. And in the first year, I think I got up to like 900 subscribers or something. But during that time, it was like just getting more and more tired of the travel, more and more. Like, I was just like, I kind of had that moment with my job where I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this long term.
Yeah.
I need something else. So, and this was super fun because I knew nothing about filming. I knew nothing about editing. I knew nothing about and I was learning the cooking along the way. I was becoming a much better cook myself, because if you try to teach something, generally you're going to get better at it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I'm either going to go to grad school, get a new job. Those were kind of my two things. And then as it was going through, I was like, you know, what if I just took like 2 years off and see if I could make this a full-time thing, you know, instead of paying for grad school, why don't I just like invest in myself?
Yeah.
So that's what I did. So I quit my job in June 2019 with 900 subscribers, wasn't making any money off of it. And I actually moved back. So I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time. Then I was like, no, you know, I was like, all right, I'm just going to move back with my parents because if they're cool with me, you know, chilling there, like I'm not going to pay rent if I don't have to. So moved back in with my parents in June 2019. So a year after starting. And then I was like, all right, we're just going to go after it and see how many videos. So I just, you know, made tons of videos, at least two a week. A lot of weeks I did three a week, and then continued that for basically the entire whole year, and got up to, I think like 20,000 subscribers. So, but this was through probably, I'd made like 150 some videos. And then my buddy he had just got done with dental school, was moving out to Carlsbad because he has his rotation here with the Navy for the dental. And I was like, yeah, like, let's just go. Like, I was making some money. It wasn't great, but it was at least something. And I was like, all right, so I can do this and then probably pick up a part-time job, cover rent and basic, you know, living expenses will be cool. So I moved out when I had 20,000 subscribers. And then literally that next, like the end of June/July, it exploded. It went from 20,000 to 170,000 subscribers in literally like a month.
What was it that kind of changed it?
Yeah, so I had a couple videos that kind of popped. So one of them was this, I called it like a recipes remaster, but basically I take a recipe from some kind of popular either a YouTube chef or maybe a regular, you know, chef or YouTube cook, and kind of look at their recipe and then take take those components and then think about how would I make this? Because that's what I do with my recipes. You know, I look at recipes, but then I'm like, how could I make that a little bit better? How could I make it faster? How could I change the flavor? How could I change the texture or something like that? Yep. And I did this one with Adam Ragusa. He had this oven fry recipe. And there were a couple, it's a really good recipe, but there was a couple things that I was thinking about that I had learned through other videos I'd done. I was like, you know, I could apply this to this recipe. So I think one of them was adding vinegar to the boiling water. It's going to help strengthen the actual like French fry potato. Cause I wanted them to be kind of thin, more like, you know, McDonald's, I guess, yeah, style French fries, like a little bit thinner. The one his videos were much thicker, kind of like thicker pieces, kind of like steak fries or roast potatoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so just kind of breaking that down, and then showing his recipe, showing the differences between our recipes, kind of the differences in the final product. And that was one of the ones that really popped. And then from there, a couple other videos I was doing really popped as well. I did some lower calorie versus restaurant style. So again, another comparison type thing, like here's this restaurant style version. You know, how can we make that into a lower calorie version that still tastes good? So maybe, you know, with, because for me, like healthy eating and cooking, it's not something that, it doesn't have to suck, you know, like there, you can make small changes in recipes to give you a lot of satisfaction, even though it's like a healthier, like a lower calorie option. Yeah. So those couple of videos just exploded. It seemed like everything I released that month, like did well. It was wild.
Were you just like waking up going like, what the fuck's going on?
Oh yeah. Like I, cause like after making, so like I'd made literally like 160 videos.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I mean, got some growth, but like, I didn't know how much, like if this was good growth or bad growth, or this is just how slow it is for everyone. Because I was like 2 years in and yeah, it was wild. Cause I didn't expect the slow and then just spike. I kind of expected, you know, just slowly going up a little bit more and more and more. And then instead it just spiked. It was absolutely wild. Yeah. Every day I would like look at my analytics and I'd be like, I got like 5,000 subscribers in a day.
That's crazy.
It took me 2 years to get 20,000.
It's wild, isn't it? How it's that viral life. It's how everything is nowadays, right? You can be doing the same thing. It's the same in my industry. You can be doing the same thing over and over and over again for God knows how many years. And that one thing just kind of picks off and then you're kind of in it for the long term. So when did it get to the point where you were like, this is actually a job that I can survive off and keep going and keep growing?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was that month because, you know, like I said, I'd already started making some money and then I was literally, so I'd been in California for about 2 weeks, you know, and I still had savings because obviously I'd saved up rent and I hadn't gone to grad school. So yeah. I had that money set aside. So I was like, I was just on the part of like looking at various kind of part-time jobs I could pick up. And then literally when I was just about to like start going to some places and like filling out applications or whatever, it just spiked. And then I realized I was like, yeah, I mean, based off what I made in these like couple weeks, I was like, as long as I continue some of this growth, like even a, you know, like some of it, I'll be at least able to survive because I didn't want to get a part-time job. I didn't have to,
yeah.
I wanted to keep focusing on the content, trying to do it full time, make it better, you know, make more involved videos and all that. So got a little notification that would turn off.
We're talking about videos and yep. money. Yep.
So I didn't want to get a part-time job. I didn't have to, just because I wanted to focus on the videos because I felt like I was kind of close to making better, more polished videos. Like the probably my 120 videos, like 160, like those videos, like I felt were much better than the prior 120.
Yeah.
So I felt like if I just kept kind of going, I'd at least get a little bit more traction. And then, yeah, that month, I mean, it just showed me the power of you know, how much you can potentially make, like when it snowballs.
Yeah.
Totally. And then right then I knew, I was like, cause I was like, I have enough money to cover these next like 4 months, regardless of if I make nothing after today.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was like, I'm not, I'd rather just keep focusing. Cause you know, when things are going good like that, I feel like you have to release as many videos as possible. And that was what I did. I kept, so like once those two styles popped, once the comparison popped and the lower calorie versus restaurant style, I was like, all right, I'm only doing these videos for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
And then we can snowball out from there when we need to. But I was like, I'm only doing these type of videos and focusing on those from there.
And
on
did,
out.
Did the growth carry on from that? Or were people like, okay, we want some different stuff now?
Yeah. So it definitely did carry on. And then I think around probably 2 months down the road, I started kind of switching stuff up because I was kind of getting a little tired of only doing those type of videos as well.
Yeah.
And I have so many ideas that, you know, that I want to tackle all the time. So then I started mixing it up a little bit. So I think over the past couple of months, I've done some things around like faster, like how to make things fast, easy, you know, like 20-minute recipes, 30-minute recipes, but also showing like cleanup steps, you know, during the recipe, you know, when am I cleaning up this dish? When am I doing that?
Yeah.
Like it was like a natural progression, but yeah, when that first two or three videos popped, I was like, all right, I really should only be focusing on these type of videos.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. When you were like in the process of from full-time job to doing this, and you said you like saved a bunch of money to go to grad school and everything like that.
Yep.
Were you investing in the videos? Were you like running ads? Were you doing anything like that on what you were doing? Or was it literally just like pure organic growth that got you to where it was or where it is now?
Yeah, all organic. Like, yeah, I haven't done any like ad pushes or like bot followers or anything that. Because there is like when you're getting into like the social media thing, like I didn't even realize that was what people did, but yeah. A lot of people do. I was like, I didn't really know how it worked. So I was just like, you know, I'm just going to post normally and see what happens. Cause I was like, for me, it just seems very scammy. Like even if it does work, if I like purchase like followers on Instagram or something, I was just like, does that actually like work? I was like, it feels like I'm just wasting money. So yeah, it was all organic. And then like when I was, you know, working at Deloitte, it was just, I just tried to make the videos a little bit better each time. Just,
yeah.
I was watching videos about Premiere Pro, how to edit, how to film stuff like on Skillshare, just trying to like get as much information and then just create stuff, not worrying about too much how it looked. Like, yeah, I want to make it look good, but I wasn't overly worried about like, this has to be perfect. I was just like, Just keep going one video per week while you're working. And then obviously when I quit, I try to go to 2 to 3 videos per week. And just over that time, I mean, if you do something that many times, it eventually will just get better.
It just has to, doesn't it? Otherwise you should just quit if it doesn't get any better.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're filming, obviously you have to learn how to do all of this, which like I've done some filming stuff and some editing stuff. It takes ages to learn these like kind of skills. How many cameras are you kind of working with now? Or is it you literally like one camera then running around and putting the same camera somewhere else? Like what's the process that you kind of go through?
Yeah. So yeah, my filming process has changed a lot over the past 2.5 years. So when I started, it was literally iPhone. And it was me trying to move stuff in different, moving stuff around. And then I quickly realized like iPhone has limitations. It's good for like if you have really good lighting situations. But then I was like, all right, move on from iPhone about probably 20 or 30 videos in. I got a Sony A6400. And then I was only using that camera. And again, that was me whipping it around everywhere. It was really annoying. But I did that with one camera for about a year and a half. And then I think finally in February of this year, I got a second camera. a Sony A6600, and that's my current setup. So I basically have, actually it's what I'm filming this on right now. I have the main shot with the 6600, and then I have the side cam with my other one, so I can, it's with a zoom lens, so I can punch in and punch out.
Okay.
So it's less of me moving around now, but I'm still constantly punching out, or I have to manually adjust my focus on things. It would be much easier if I did have like someone filming for me, because I probably look like a madman, like if someone was just like watching me film, because like I'm constantly trying to tweak things and like adjust focus, or like even the main camera, like I will move that up and down just based on what the shot is.
I guess
it's a lot of like micro adjustments, but I'm not running around as much anymore.
I guess at the end of the day, it's your full-time job, so it's not like you've got all the time in the world, right?
Yeah. So I realized I was like, I can't be whipping one camera around all the time. It's like, I got to get two so I can at least punch it with different shots, because it videos kind of get stale if it's just like one face on like shot over and over, at least I think. So like, that's why I wanted to add a little bit of flavor with different, you know, focal lengths and stuff. But yeah, I'm in a decent groove now, because I tried to systematize how I shoot. Yeah. Because that was one of the things when I started, I was like, how am I going to shoot this? And like, I'd ask myself that every single time, and then it would take way longer than I expected, you know?
So what's your process of shooting now?
Do you want like the entire like end-to-end video process?
Yeah, yeah.
Like ideation to...
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I want to go from like research to like, okay, you wake up one day, I want to make some tonkotsu ramen or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So kind of, I kind of go through like my ideation, then my research phase, my scripting, like what I actually want to shoot, and then filming, editing, and then just, I guess, editing, publishing. So for ideation, I have a couple ways that I track ideas. Like I'm constantly getting ideas, like through watching YouTube videos, reading cookbooks, or whatever. And I just try to capture them whenever I can. So I have like a couple apps on my phone, Notion and Todoist, where I'll just like jot down an idea, I'll get to it later. And then those ideas will go into like a main kind of, just like Google Drive or another Notion page that I have, where it'll just sit in this ideas list. And then generally I'll like pick out this idea from this ideas list. I'll pick something out. And with my ideas, I generally try to think about how this is going to be applicable to the home cook, because I mean, there's a recipe for everything out there. So
of course, yeah.
I have to think about how do I want to do it differently or build upon existing recipes or make it a better product or whatever. So then that's kind of my sticking point. So if I'm picking, you know, for example, I'll do a hash brown recipe, since this is what I'm filming currently.
Okay.
I was doing these hash browns, McDonald's style hash browns. There was a couple of good videos online, but I wanted to try to think about how to make it easier for the home cook. Basically, my idea was, how can I make a version they take from the freezer, and then, you know, you wake up in the morning, you take this hash brown from the freezer, you pop some oil down in a pan, you pan fry it, you have a McDonald's style hash brown in like 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So there's my idea that I want to try to, you know, for the video. So then from there, I'm like, all right, how do I get this? So then for this video, I'd had to do a lot of testing, because I wanted to use as little like extra ingredients as possible. I wanted to stick to like potato, salt, oil, and then maybe if we need to mix in like egg, flour, we can do that. So from there, I started doing research. I go to resources like The Food Lab by J. Kunji Lopez Alt. It's a great book kind of explaining the science of cooking. Another book that I reference a lot to is On Food and Cooking by Harold McGee. And those are kind of my research sources to actually kind of help understand what's going on.
Okay.
So in The Food Lab, I used kind of the ideas behind double frying French fries, which is a video I've also done. So using that kind of prior knowledge of what I learned there, I try to bring that to this hash brown.
Yeah.
So then from there, I was like, hash browns, you can either par cook them in oil, you can par cook them in water. And then you can form them with just that. You could just form them from there with salt, or you could add egg, you could add flour, you could add cornstarch. So basically I wanted to try all these things. So yesterday morning I whipped out a ton of different batches with all these like slight modifications and kind of trying to find the one that I thought was best.
So are you filming all of these at the same time? Or like
this one was a little different. I kind of went down a rabbit hole. I didn't think I was going to test as many things as I was going to test. So I have like a couple clips. I was like, I should probably film this. I should at least show the final product. So I have some shots of like all 9 variations, like on a baking sheet, but I didn't film everything. Sometimes I would normally film that. But I kind of went down a rabbit hole and like just got lost before you could even like, I was just like, I was in the zone just making stuff. And then I was like, shoot, I should have probably been filming more of this than I did.
Okay.
So I try to capture some of that. And I always try to show specific differences. So like I have a couple shots where like I'm showing what it looks like if you add flour versus what if you don't add flour, and then like kind of cracking it open, what pan fried looks like versus deep fried. And I'm doing more filming today too, so I'll also capture more of that stuff. But then yesterday, once I kind of finalized my recipe, I typed everything out. I was like, all right, this is the recipe I want to go with. And then within each step, I was like, all right, this is why I chose this step. This is why I par cooked them in oil versus water. This is why I think you should use flour and cornstarch versus nothing. This is why you should be freezing them. So trying to write out all these key components of why I'm doing them, and then writing that all out. And then today I'll finish filming. I have hash browns in the freezer right now. So I'll finish filming them. I'll cook them up. I'm going to show 3 different ways to cook them. And then after all filming's done, I typically do an intro with me, like, you know, face to face. And then I'll do a little outro with me. So I'll have that film, but then everything else is generally voiceover. Just so it's easier for me to, if I'm trying to teach something, if I can just focus on what I'm saying rather than, you know, trying to have like an informal teaching session. Plus it makes it compact, tighter, and things like that.
I think when somebody's
and then the editing process goes from there on out. So
I think when somebody's talking whilst cooking, it kind of slows everything down. Or when just generally, I always find the videos that have the kind of overdubbing, and it's so much nicer to watch as somebody just watching and trying to learn. It's just so much quicker as well. So how long's the
I agree.
How long's the editing process on? Because you've clearly been working on this for a while. So how like and filmed a lot. How long's that?
Yeah. So as long as I have a good plan in place, like as long as my script's good, and especially if I get a shot list, like if I know I need specific shots, like if I need a comparison of this versus this, as long as I have all that work up front, the editing process is pretty smooth. So for me, I would say a video, I mean, it can take anywhere from, I'd say on the low side, 6 hours of like pretty focused editing to on the high side, you know, maybe 15 to 20 hours. It depends on what level. So for some of my quicker videos, like that I have like a 22 minute fried chicken sandwich, like I can bang that out in you know,
easily
4 or 5 hours, just sitting down and going through it. For the Thanksgiving turkey video I did the other week, I mean, that took me probably 25, 30 hours of editing, just because there was a lot of charts, there was a lot of graphics and extra things and that I tried to add to it. So it kind of depends. After I do like a big editing video, then I'm like, all right, I want to do a very simple video.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about getting somebody else to edit, or has it always been for you that you're like, I want to do everything myself. I want to kind of be in full creative control over it.
Yeah, that's something I've recently been considering. I like the editing and I like learning about it, but I also realize I'm not the best editor. Like there's definitely people better out there than me. I think my value add is more on the food side, right? Trying to think about how these recipes can relate to a home cook, how we can make them faster, less ingredients or healthier thing. I think that's really my value add.
Yeah.
So that's actually something I've been thinking about, is to look at getting an editor, because, you know, I'm just a self-taught editor. Like I'm not, you know, nothing I do is better than someone that also could have been editing for 2 years or 5 years, 10 years, you know? So for me, like the editing, I don't mind it. I like it. I like the process. But at the same time, I realize I could probably make more videos and focus on the cooking side of things, which is the part I enjoy more. So it's something I've thought about, but yeah, we'll see over the next couple of months.
Takes time, I guess. It's that progression, isn't it? Especially with the finances, that you also got to pay somebody that's pretty good and or get somebody on board, and takes time to find that right person as well. And sometimes it's just easier just to do it yourself, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like where I am now. Like, yeah, like I was thinking maybe do, you know, maybe, you know, I probably started like a trial basis. Maybe, hey, we do one out of two videos this week. You know, I'll edit one, I'll you edit the other, and kind of go from there. So like that's kind of what I'd probably have to do as a trial run, just to make sure it fits well, make sure their editing style kind of matches what I'm trying to do.
I guess also you're still going to have a big part of it, because you still have to do the overdubbing of it and everything like that. And I take it you do that after the editing?
Yeah, so my process is generally I do it before I edit, so I can edit to the voice. I found that that's much easier. I've done it both ways, but I found that it's much easier if I have my shots listed out. So that is one way that I think I could work well with an editor, because I generally have like, all right, this is scripted out here. I want to show XYZ shots.
Yeah.
So it, in that sense, kind of the workflow that I've developed would make more sense to be able to hand off to an editor and have reasonable success, hopefully, you know, in the first couple of videos.
That's great, man. You sound organized. I like it.
Yeah, I try to. I realized very early on that, like, I mean, looking back at some of my videos, like it would take me 2 days to edit like a 4 minute video with no, like nothing special about it. And I was just like, I got to get organized just for, so I'm not, you know,
they're the good days though, right?
I need my head.
They're the good days.
Absolutely.
You go back to it and you're like, oh my God, what the fuck was I doing? Like, I can't believe I did this. And now you're kind of at the level where you're at, and you've done it quickly. If you think about it, where your career is now compared to where it was 2 years ago, you're on another level. What's the plan to keep? Is it to keep going, or is there other plans on doing other things, or where do you want to take things?
For me, it literally feels like I'm just getting started.
Yeah,
to be honest,
love that.
So there's a lot of things that I want to do. So obviously focus on YouTube. You know, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But at the same point, I do realize that like it could be a short term thing for me. You know, who knows if like people are just like, yeah, I don't like this Ethan guy anymore. I don't like his food content.
I don't think that's gonna happen anytime soon, man. Come on.
I really don't think it's gonna happen. Yeah, I don't plan on it too. But like, you know, long term, it's like, you know, like I was trying to think of it, like 5 years down the line, like do I still see myself doing just YouTube videos? Definitely not. I'll definitely be doing other things. So other things that I want to start is a cookbook for sure. That's one of the projects that I have some loose outlines of stuff I want to do, but then I also want to move into some other businesses around food. So, you know, I'm passionate about sharp knives are one of the most important things for people to have in the kitchen. So I've had thoughts about maybe doing, you know, opening up like a knife company or, you know, other cooking utensils and things like this, because, you know, like I know there are all these other brands out there, but like at the same time, also realizing like I could open this too. Like, you know, if Meizen is promoting their knife, you know, and they want YouTubers to show it off, like, why couldn't I develop my own knife brand and just promote it myself?
I totally agree. I think what's the joys of the 21st century with social media and YouTube and everything like that, we can all create businesses using our platform to promote it and not rely on anyone else to promote it. Like, you're at the point in your channel where if you get people to sponsor your channel, then why can't you just sponsor yourself with your own businesses? You can sell your own book, you can sell your own knives, you can sell everything. And in the grand scheme of things, it's a business. You've got to make money, and you've got to make a living, and you can kind of just heighten everything by using that platform that you've built and you've worked so hard to kind of get on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo, yeah, completely agree. And plus for me, like the whole business thing is very fun. Like the journey of actually making that business, you know, like I was already thinking about like knives, for example. I was like, you know, how do you design it? And how do you, cause it's like your baby, like that you bring, you know, to life versus just promoting someone else's, you know, this is something that I made. Like I was there the entire process. Like you can talk about it better than anyone.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, for me, it's something I definitely will be doing over, you know, the next 6 months to a year is trying to figure out how I can start up kind of these other businesses that I'm passionate about. Cause like for me, it's like a fun thing, you know, like to create a knife, like company or brand and be able to give input on how I want things designed like that. For me, that's just fun.
There's a local knife maker near me, called, I think it's called Nuku Knives. And he, I'm probably going to go and do like a knife making course with him. Cause he does like courses on like how to like be a blacksmith and kind of forge knives. And I find it really interesting. Have you ever been to Japan?
I haven't. That's one of the countries I have on a short list that I want to travel to when I'm allowed to travel.
It should be at the top, man. If you're into knives, at Tokyo Fish Market, I can never pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. But they have all the knife makers there, and they are literally just they're just making knives all day. And you go out and through the fish market, which is like through loads of different streets, you just have like a couple of knife makers like dotted around, and they have all these knives just on display. And then if you like choose to buy one, they go and they like will sharpen it for you, and they're kind of engrave whatever you want engraved it on the knife, so it's like yours. And they have the different types of knives, so they have like the Japanese style handle, which is like a lighter handle, and then they have like the Western handle, which is a lot heavier. And but the craftsmanship is just absolutely amazing. And then you see like sushi chefs kind of going to the places where they sharpen the knives, and there's like just a specific knife sharpener guy that just has his wet block, and he's just sharpening knives all day long for all these chefs. And it's just something really amazing to see, because you don't really get it here or in America. No. Or like I know in LA there's two Japanese knife importers, and they're quite close to each other, and they kind of do the same where they're like sharpening knives and importing a lot of Damascus steel. But knives are beautiful. I absolutely love knives.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just started getting into it. Yeah, like I said, like I'm pretty jealous that you've been to Japan. That is one of the spots where I really do want to go to. Yeah, there is something special about and especially like the first time you chop with like a properly sharp knife, like that. That's a moment that is so special that I want everyone to have that moment, because I'm sure you were too. Like you probably used to chop with these dull knives that you use them for years and they never were sharpened.
Yeah.
And like looking back, I'm just like, why did I ever do that? Like, oh.
The worst thing,
like, I want to create that moment for people, you know, like where they're like, oh my gosh, what have I been doing wrong for years?
I agree. The worst thing is when you go to like a friend's house and you're like used to your knives at home, and then you go to a friend's house and you're cooking for your friends, and then you go to chop like a bell pepper or something, like something very simple. And like, why is this knife not working how it should be? Like, what have you not sharpened this knife ever? And why is it such a crap knife? And then you realize like that you're just lucky and you have a good knife, but it is life changing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My parents started doing it. Like whenever we go on vacation, we'd go up to Maine normally like every summer, and they would start bringing knives from home because they're just like, you can't trust what you're going to get in a vacation home.
It's true.
And actually it's funny. I was in Mexico City, for like 5 weeks earlier in January and February this year. I actually brought my whetstone in my suitcase.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just if I needed a sharp, and I actually did end up using it because the knives that I accessed to they needed some touching up.
Have you done a video on how to sharpen a knife?
Yeah, I've done a couple. So those were actually some of the early videos that really did well for me. Like before, was around maybe like 10,000 subscribers. But yeah, I have a couple knife sharpening videos that I've done very well.
Because I don't know how to. I've not tried to. I've researched a lot about it, and then I'm like, I just don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah, I've got a couple. One of them is like, it's called like the beginner's guide to knife sharpening. It's a pretty old video at this point, actually. I think it's like 30 minutes long. And then I also have like a newer video that I think actually is my best video on the channel. It's like, I think it's called Sharpening Mistakes That Most Beginners Make.
Okay.
I think it has like, I don't even know how many videos or views. I think it has like 1.5 million views or something. Damn. But yeah. I think it's the most viewed video on my channel.
That's crazy. What's it like as a feeling when we all have milestones, right, in our lives? Well, not all of us, but a lot of us that kind of are wanting to achieve things, we all have milestones. Did you ever set like a goal where you're like, I want to get to this by this time, like this amount of subscribers, or I want a video to hit 1 million? Like, what was it like when you got to those? And is it the case is like you hit that milestone and then you're like, okay, what's next? Is that the same for you?
Yeah. So it wasn't a specific number, I guess. So I guess my goal when I quit my job in June 2019, I basically said, you're going to give yourself 2 years to be able to support yourself doing this full time. You know, that doesn't have to be like literally just supporting myself full time, like basic expenses. Like that was the milestone. So it wasn't a specific, you know, like analytic or subscriber mark or view count or something. It was literally just that, because that is what I realized was, because that would allow me to continue what I have grown to love doing.
Yeah.
So that was really the mark. And then, yeah, once I hit that in July, I was like, yeah, it was kind of a weird thing because it happened so fast. I didn't really have time to reflect on it at all.
Yeah. It's always a case.
It was, you know, it's 2 years of like, okay, like slowly, slow growth. And then just literally in the course of 2 weeks, it was like, all right, like, you know, I can do this like full time now, like for sure, as long as I, you know, keep modest growth from here on out. So I don't think I ever really had time to reflect on it, because it was always just, like when it did spike, then I was like, all right, I just got to keep making videos. I never really stopped and thought, this is what you set out to do
yeah
a year ago, and now you're here. So it's still something that, like, some days I'll be like, I would just be like, damn, like, I'm literally doing what I wanted to do full time now.
It's amazing. It's such a nice feeling.
Kind of snowballed.
It's such a nice feeling, isn't it? Being able to like wake up every day and be like, I absolutely love what I do. Like,
yeah. Like yesterday, you know, I got up and tried out a ton of different hash browns in the kitchen for like 3 hours. Like that, you know, absolute bliss.
Do you still have a roommate?
Yeah. So we have a signed lease through, I think, June of 2021. So he's gone throughout the day though. So he's always away, but
does he get to eat all the food?
Leftovers when I'm cooking during the day.
I was going to say, does he get all the food?
Yeah. So I generally do all the cooking just cause I like, even on days when I have filmed like and done stuff, like I still want to get back in the kitchen like that night to cook dinner, you know?
Would you ever want to be a chef?
So I was like, actually no, I never really did. Growing, I mean, I like cooking and stuff. Like, people are like, oh, like, you should look at becoming a chef. But it was never something that I saw myself doing, like, you know, being like a chef in a restaurant. Something about it just didn't seem, I don't know, it just didn't seem like, because for me, I think I like the experimentation of cooking, which, like, I guess as a, like, you get to a point as a chef where you can do more experimentation with your menus and you're kind of setting that stuff. But it takes a long time to get there. And I didn't really view food as like an actual something I could make a lifelong career out of, you know, when I was growing up. Which, you know, looking back, obviously, like, you know, imagine if I would have started this stuff, you know, instead of going to college or whatever. But
hindsight's a bitch, isn't it?
It's weird how like society kind of, I feel like just in general, like kind of society now, like, it kind of shapes us in certain directions, but like, I mean, if I was looking back now, I'd be, if someone had some passion now, I'd be like, no, like, don't go to college. Like,
yeah,
take a year or two off, find like a part-time job. See if you can make your passion into a job. Cause there's so many ways to do it, you know, nowadays. Like, you don't have to have a credential to make a video on YouTube. You don't have to have a credential to, you know, make art or release whatever. You can just be, you know, I'm just like a normal guy. Like there's nothing special about me.
Yeah.
You know, I just happen to say, I'm going to do this and give myself enough time to do it. And eventually, you know, good things can happen.
I love that. Love that. So obviously I live in America as well when coronavirus isn't going on. And when I moved to America and started traveling a lot, I realized how much people eat at restaurants in America and like take out food, and kind of like the fast food culture is on another level because you can just get everything delivered in your house. I'm kind of come from this almost from what I can imagine the same sort of background for you, where like home cooking is just so important. And like, I love cooking with my family. I grew up cooking with my mum. My mum taught us everything when we were growing up. My dad can't cook for shit, but it's fine. But it's just like how your platform is clearly impacting a lot of people and getting a lot of people that have never cooked to cook again. Have you really thought about how that kind of is impacting society? Because it is like a video that's getting millions of views. You're getting a lot of people that are learning how to cook things that never cooked before.
So because that's been one of the missions. So I'm kind of the notion, like, my favorite thing about cooking is that it can be whatever you need it to be. It can be something that gives you creativity. It can be something that, it can be meal prep, you know, if you're super busy. It can be healthy, leading a healthier lifestyle. You can cook healthier foods. It can be a cost saving measure, to save money by cooking your own food. So for me, it's always just been about trying to get more and more people cooking, because for me, I think it's one of the best skills for anyone to learn, you know, and literally for any reason, right? Because it literally can be whatever you need it to be. You know, it can be a late night, you come home drunk, you need some munchies, and you throw like cheese and some whatever into and you just whip it up. Like, yeah. It can be anything. So I think that's my favorite part about it. And yeah, when I set out to do this, I was like, yeah, like I want that to be the focus. I want people to actually go out and make these recipes so they can experience, you know, some of the things that I like about cooking and then transform it into their own way too.
No, I love that, because I think in today's culture, there's so much about just eating. I think it's especially like in the UK and US, it's food is a thing that you have to do, and it's not necessarily always appreciated. And I think when you cook something, you kind of, because you've almost earned it, you've almost worked for it, and you've kind of earned it. And then when you sit down and eat, and you're like, or when you're like cooking for your friends and you're like, or your family, you make this, you spend hours making a meal or spend 20 minutes making a meal, but the amount of like happiness and joy you give to people by cooking it and putting it in on a plate and then seeing them enjoy it, like, it must be amazing for you, where you're seeing, do you get like a lot of feedback from your subscribers and stuff like that on, I cooked this for my family and this is amazing, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, those are by far like my favorite comments. Like when someone says like, I made this, or they'll send me an Instagram story of them making something, or they'd be like, yo, like I watch your videos and this is the first time I've actually made something from a video I watched. Cause I think a lot of people watch, you know, YouTube videos or food videos, and they don't actually make anything. So like, that's what my focus has really been on, is like, I want you to make this. So I'm going to try to make it in a way that it seems approachable, or like, so you can understand it. Cause yeah, those are literally my favorite comments when I get people that are like, yo, I made this for my family, or made it for my friend, or made it for myself. And they're like, it was amazing. It turned out, you know, exactly like you said it would. So I love getting those comments.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I mean, do you have how did you get into cooking too? You said your family and stuff cooked. Like, do you get that kind of same satisfaction when you, you know, create stuff?
Yeah, man. For me, when I'm cooking, I'm kind of similar to you, is like, well, I don't know, because what I do with music, I'm always in front of a screen. I'm always traveling. People always like trying to contact me on my phone. Like, it's just nonstop all the time. And when I'm cooking, I don't have any of that. I can put on a podcast. I can listen to some music in the background, or I can just do nothing and just concentrate on actually cooking. And like, if, let's say, for instance, I've got like a load of friends coming over for dinner, I love like the day before waking up and going, okay, what am I going to cook for the guys tomorrow? And like writing it out and planning it on my phone, going, okay, I'm going to cook this. Let's find a recipe. And then get all the ingredients, and then I'll make it. Or something that I know how to make and kind of improve, or like, okay, I want to do a ramen tonight or tomorrow. Like, what do I need? I've never done tonkotsu, so let's go get some trotters and kind of let's start making the broth, or like a chicken broth or something like that. And for me, it's the whole process. It's seeing it from like start to end, and then people enjoying it afterwards. I'm kind of not fussed about eating it by the end of it, because it's more so the process. But I, at the beginning, well, when the UK came out of lockdown in the summer, I went to, my parents go to a hotel, which is, it's in like South Somerset, which is near where I live. It's called La Canda on the Weir. The chef there he's a kind of a self-taught Italian. He's Italian, but he's self-taught. And I got speaking to him, and then he invited me to go and like learn to cook with him for a week in the summer. And so this is in like a hotel restaurant. So I went down there for a week and I learned so much. Just like he does a lot of like sous vide and just a lot of very intricate kind of recipes that I would never do at home, if that makes sense. Just because restaurant food is so different to home cooking. It's like you said at the beginning, it's so different, and the amount of ingredients going into a dish that you get in a restaurant is so different to what you would cook at home. It made me realize I would never want to be a chef, because you are literally working, you're from like 7:30 in the morning till 11 at night, you're on your feet working. And it's not a huge restaurant, it's a small restaurant, but it could be Michelin star, like what he does. So it's very like, it is very good. So that was kind of something else that I kind of really enjoyed learning. But cooking for me is just kind of that escapism from my everyday life, which I absolutely love my everyday life. I've had so many friends that are like, you should start a cooking YouTube channel, you should do this, you should do that. And I'm like, I could, but I also know how much work has to go into it. And for me, like, I absolutely love it, but do I want to turn what I absolutely love into another job again? And I think that's the thing for me, is like, music is my one love, and I turn that into a job. And when you turn something into a job, it doesn't take the fun out of it, but it definitely changes your views on it. How did you find that?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And just to your point about like the cooking and kind of the escapism, I think that for me, especially during college and work, that was probably why I loved what I liked about cooking it most. Like, no matter if, you know, I get home on a long day at work, just coming home and just spending, you know, an hour or two in the kitchen. Like, for me, that's just relaxing. And you and me both, we're probably rare in that. I think a lot of people view cooking as this thing that, oh, I have to cook tonight, or I have nothing in the fridge or whatever. But it sounds like for you and me, like I just like the fact that I just can make something, you know, and just chill out. But to your point about, when turning into a job, I mean, it definitely does change it, because, you know, like I love what I'm doing now, obviously, but that doesn't mean there aren't parts that you don't like. Of course. Like some days I'm like, oh, I don't feel like editing this. Like, this is going to take me so many hours to do or whatever. Like, you still have those moments. That's why I like the term, like, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. Like, it's still work.
Yeah.
But I just really love what I do. But there are still some things that you don't like that much. That has kind of changed. And then also, like, one thing that has affected me. So, like, I was posting some TikToks of, you know, food, non-YouTube stuff, just like other meals that I made. And then I was also doing like some live streams of cooking. And then I kind of had this point where I was like, I feel like every single thing that I cook, I'm filming for somebody. And I kind of realized, I was like, I kind of also want to just cook for myself and not have to tell anyone about it. So recently, like, I haven't been posting, you know, like as many TikToks, like maybe, you know, a couple a week, if that, or I just took like 2 weeks off. Like, 'cause I was just like, I feel like I'm literally filming every single thing that I'm cooking, which for me, I still want the escapism of cooking. Like you, I still want to be able to be like, yeah, I'm just hanging out and just making something for myself that I'm going to enjoy and not feel like I have to tell someone about it.
Yeah.
So that is something that I've recently been trying to balance. 'Cause I don't know. I don't want to ever feel forced. Like I have to film or post a picture on Instagram or whatever. Like, I just also want to be able to sell that. I just want to just cook for myself and just be able to enjoy it.
No, I love that, man. I think for me, it's one thing that I've worked out, especially over lockdown, is to, obviously we all know there's going to be things that we don't want to do in life, but I was asked at the beginning of lockdown to kind of do, to start like a Twitch channel. That's what it's called, Twitch.
Yeah.
And they were just like, we want you live streaming to do like, show people how to make music and do all of that. And I was like, okay, I know how long it's going to take for this to be good. And am I that passionate about doing it for it to be worth how long it's going to take? This isn't an overnight thing. Like you've said,
yeah.
It's like, I know how long it takes to get good at anything and to become successful at anything. And am I willing to put that amount of time and more to get to the point where I want it to be? And I think that that was kind of the answer to it. It's like, well, no, I don't. And I think if, for me, I don't know if you've had that, but like the times when it's like, well, I can just do things for fun. I don't have to turn it into a business. I don't have to make it something that's part of my career. It's okay to have fun and not turn it into, yeah, a career.
Yeah, it is so weird with social media, especially like, you know, if you're trying to make it on social media, like everyone will say you need to be posting as much as possible. You need more content. You need more this, that, and the other. But yeah, like you eventually, I just got to that point where I was like, I don't want to like feel like I have to videotape, take a picture or whatever every time I'm cooking or eating something. Like I don't know. Cause so many people like Gary Vaynerchuk, huge guy about post everything, split it out, get to every platform, whatever. And like, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I would try to do. Like I was doing, you know, I was doing some Twitch live streams like twice a week. And then I realized that I liked the live streams, but I was doing like, I was like, I don't think I want to do them this often and for this long. I kind of felt like I was forcing myself a little bit more rather than just wanting to do them. So now I move my live streams over to YouTube and I'm just going to do one a week. And it's going to be like, I'm going to focus on doing it for like an hour. Like it'll literally just be people hanging out. I'm going to send out the recipe ahead of time and we're just going to make something and it'll take less than an hour.
That's so cool.
That'll be fun. Cause that'll be kind of that escapism where I'm just hanging out, you know, with people online just chatting about stuff.
Yeah.
That's
dope, man. I like that idea.
Like,
it's funny you were talking about Gary Vaynerchuk because I haven't heard anything about him for a long time. And I was driving today and he came on. I used to listen to his podcast and he came on and it was literally talking about how much content you should post. And he was like, you should be posting like at least 15 items a day. And I'm like, fuck me. Like how? Like I don't have 15 things to talk about in a month that's that interesting for people to like wanna be. And I'm like, that is why he's so successful in that lane, in his lane, because he is just willing to put that much work and effort. Obviously he's got a huge team around him, but it would be a different story if you had people filming for you, if you had people editing for you, if you had like a development team, if you had like a development kitchen, it would be completely different for you, right? But it takes you time to get there. It takes everybody the process to get to that, and some people don't even want that. Like, and I think that's the thing, it's just working out exactly what you want in life and just enjoying it. That's why I started the podcast, because I've always wanted to have conversations with people. Like a lot of people in my career, we never have big conversations because it's always in a nightclub and there's always loud music and we're just like,
loud music.
We just pass each other in the night. Like I finish a set, somebody else comes on, we say hi, we text each other and go, have a great night, and then crack on. And I've had some of the best conversations, and like even having you on, like I just hit you up randomly. Like it's interesting to get interesting people on and have a conversation with people. And I'd like to think that in future we can talk again and we can probably hang out and get some food at some point and do that. And I think that's the thing for me, is that like in my life, building relationships is sometimes so much more important than actually worrying about what to fucking post and shit like that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm yeah, I'm there with you. Yeah, because yeah, that is a good point. Like podcasts are so fun to like just have long form, you know, communication. Cause yeah, I mean, like that's a great point about, yeah, like DJ, you know, other DJs and stuff. If you're out late, like you're not going to like sit and you're either going to be like going out, having a good time, or you, like after that, you want to go to bed or you're on to the next place.
Yeah, you exactly. So exactly.
That's really, has there been, what was like the most interesting like thing that you learned or like story or something from like a fellow DJ, like when you had them on?
I don't know if there's been like any specific stories, because it's more so just like a conversation like this. But
just
I did
a good conversation.
Yeah, last week I had a guy called Jake Hanrahan on, and Jake's not a DJ; he's a conflict journalist. So he does he does like war journalism, really. But he also he also reports on places that kind of like the news, the like mainstream media don't really talk about. And he runs a thing called Popular Front, which is just insane. And he's just done this mad documentary about a dude in Western Europe that prints 3D guns. And
wow,
it's fucking wild. Like, if you get the chance, go and watch it. I'll send you the link after. Yeah. I'll text you the link.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his channel has always done really well, but that video that he's just released has almost been like what you had. It's like had like 300,000 views in like a week, and it's just like, it's mad.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the conversation with him, because I know nothing about it. I know nothing about what he, what his world is. And I'm not a huge fan of like mainstream media. I don't follow the news. I don't follow politics. I'm not really that type of person. So finding out that talking to somebody that's like been in the wars and met like insane people was like super interesting to me. Like, for me, when I've got music people on, it's just a nice to catch up, because we haven't caught up.
Yep.
But like, it's, again, it's like you, it's like finding out your process and learning how your process is. It's so interesting to me, and that's why I absolutely love doing it, really.
Yeah, it's a good point about the podcast, because yeah, you'll bring together people that otherwise like you'd have no business talking to, you know, in like your day-to-day life. Like,
exactly.
You know, how are you going to meet, was it James Hanrahan? Like, how are you going to meet him?
Yeah, never. I'm never like, going to come across him.
You'd never run into him like in a hotel lobby or something and strike up a conversation. Like, the podcast is that medium where you can bring people together from two wildly different, you know, areas and have like just an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I had Kat Adele on, which I don't know if you know who Kat Adele is, but she's like a food writer.
Sure, no.
She's like a food writer.
Okay.
She's married to I always forget his name. I've got to find this out, because it's gonna annoy me. Kat Adele. She's married to Mike. This is gonna annoy me. He was the executive chef at Alinea in Chicago.
Okay.
Mike Bagel.
Not sure of the name.
Mike Bagel.
Okay. Yeah.
But she was like a writer, or she's a writer for Vogue. She used to work for Eater LA in New York, and kind of do a lot of food channels on YouTube. And like, again, it was just amazing to talk to her and talk about we literally just spoke about food for like an hour and a half. It was like just really nice. But yeah, podcasts, there's something about podcasts that I don't get that feeling where it's like, oh, I have to do it. Like the editing of the video at the end is long, but it's nowhere near as long as yours, to be fair. And I'm not a great editor as well. I'm just teaching myself. So it's good fun. It's good fun. So, food wise, what is like your, date night, you're cooking for your partner, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
What's like going to be the like, or you're cooking for your friends, whoever, like what is the go-to where you're like, this is going to blow them away?
Ooh, this is always a tough question for me. It really depends on the situation, I feel like, but for probably like a date night, I'd go, I think really well-cooked steak is always going to be a winner. Like that's just a, that's an easy kind of layup for sure. And then, but to pair that with like some nice sides. So I really like nice, like vinaigrette salad. So maybe like a Brussels sprout salad, something I've really been into recently. And then maybe for a carb, like a little either risotto is kind of fancy, you know, and it, but it's also very like luxurious and
what would you,
and, but it's easy to make too.
What
which
type
is like
of
the
risotto?
Best part. For me, like risotto is something that it's always a spur of the moment, what I actually decide to put in it. So I usually start with just a basic white risotto, you know, with broth and then, you know, the butter and parm. But then I like to add little things on top. So maybe like some roasted like vegetables. Like, I mean, it's fall now. So I'd probably do like some roasted like sweet potatoes and just like crisp them up really nice and kind of like sprinkle them on top. And then just like having those three kind of components. You've got like the beefy meat, you know, it's fatty, it's juicy. But then you've kind of got your lighter component that helps like balance out with like a, you know, the vinaigrette of like a nice salad that bounces like the other two kind of heavier components. So I feel like that's a good one. And then if it's for like family or friends, like I just love cooking like Mexican food.
Okay. So
like, for me, Mexican food like is one of the best group foods because it's easy to make. You can make a variety of toppings. You can please anyone. So actually on our way out here, we stopped in Denver at my brother's house. We did a big, just cooked up a bunch of Mexican stuff. So we did poblanos con queso, which is basically you put manchego cheese inside a poblano, cut the top off and then throw it over coals and then heat the whole thing up, chop it up. There's your topping. Then we also did like carne asada. We did some chicken. And then just like a bunch of, you know, fresh salsas, accoutrements, and like other things that are just like fun to make. So like if it's a group setting, I'm probably always going to lean towards Mexican.
Yeah.
Just because the variety of flavors and you can please everybody. But for date night, like I feel like a steak and like a risotto or maybe a little pasta, like a basic like pesto or a cacio e pepe, like something basic, but that's just made very well, I feel like it's always going to do good.
What cut of steak do you go for?
I'm probably partial to New York strips. They're probably my favorite.
Awesome.
I like the balance between the fattiness of those. I know everyone talks about filet mignon. I don't think it's that great of a cut of steak, personally. Like it's very tender. But I feel like it's not as flavorful.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I do love a filet. When I was at the restaurant, learning to do some stuff, we sous vide filet mignon, but like it was like a thick piece,
the whole piece,
and then we made Café de Paris butter, which I don't know if you've ever made. Have you ever made that?
No, I've not made that before.
It's fucking wild how you make it. It's literally like, I think there's like 30 ingredients that go into it. And it's just a fermented
30?
Yeah, it's wild. And you ferment it over like 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then you ferment it, wrap it, and then put it in the freezer. So then what he does is he sous vides this steak for, it's literally like, an hour long sous vide, or like 55 minutes sous vide, then sears it very quickly on like super high heat.
Yep.
Cuts it, and then just puts a knob of the Café de Paris butter on it, and then puts it in the oven quickly, lets the butter melt, and you've just got this insane, it just tastes amazing. And the butter's kind of like, it's got curry powder in, which sounds really strange. Yeah. But that with steak, with like some like very well done fries or chips, as we call it in the UK. And then he does this like pickled like vegetables on the side, which is kind of like cut through everything. That is a filet cut is probably the best thing I've had steak wise. But I would agree with you, like a New York strip, or we would call it like sirloin, is amazing. Yep. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So like it, in terms of that, like that filet preparation, I think is really not like, you know, cause you're adding that fatty kind of component to the filet, which I think is what is a little different from, you know, like most home cooking preparations. Like you buy a filet, like you just sear it up. It's like, I feel like I've made it at home and I'm like I'd rather have like the beefiness of like a New York strip or something. But yeah, like in a restaurant setting, I agree. Like filet mignon, great thing to order. Not as great thing to make at home, I would say.
Yeah. Have you ever done like a tomahawk or anything like that?
I haven't done a tomahawk actually. Yeah, that's one of the things I've never done.
You should try that, man.
How about you?
Yeah, I've done one. I've done a couple and they're amazing. If you cook them right. But the thing is, it's quite a big bit of meat to fuck up. So you don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a waste if you overcook it, and it needs to be done properly because you can have like some bits of the meat that's cooked too much, and then some bits of it that's not cooked enough, and you don't want to like have like some like gray steak and then like completely like red raw. So you need like the proper way to cook it, but it's good fun. That's kind of like one for the lads. It's a night with the guys, right, where you're just like, just want to eat a big bit of meat. Dude, we've just done an hour and 20 minutes. It's been really nice.
I haven't even realized.
I know, it's wild, isn't it? I could talk all night. Before we go, is there any, can you like tell people how to follow you, how to like watch your videos and Instagram, TikTok, whatever?
Yeah, so I'm Ethan Jabowski on literally everything, YouTube and Instagram. I'm probably most active, though I also do post on TikTok, though I've been a little less active lately. But yeah, literally just Ethan Jabowski on everything.
Before we finish TikTok, I refuse to get into that world right now. I just I'm not into it. Wow, why did you go in it?
So it started because I wasn't about it either. And then, you know, this was before kind of my blow up. And I was like, you know what, maybe I'll try posting some stuff on here and see what happens. And I actually got up to like, I think 100,000 or maybe 150,000 followers on TikTok.
Oh, damn.
You know, relatively quickly. Like, and I wasn't big on YouTube. I think I had like, you know, I was below 20,000 subscribers on YouTube when I kind of had that blow up. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should do this. But yeah, for me, like TikTok, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of useless content on TikTok. That's just like, it's just, you're scrolling and you're looking at like, this adds, at least for me, this adds like no value to my life. There are some cool videos. And so like mine were like, actually, like what my videos are like, I want to actually teach people something. I want to get more people to cook. So, you know, I do things around like pickled onions or other quick dishes. Cause yeah, for me, TikTok, yeah, it's like, I can totally see why you may not want to get into it. Cause yeah, I feel like a lot of it is just kind of mindlessly scrolling through 15-second videos of people putting on a popular song and dancing to it.
Yeah. Too many 12-year-old girls just like trying to dance. I'm just not into it, to be fair. But if it works for you, it works for you at the end of the day. And 120,000 followers on TikTok before your YouTube is successful, like, that's fucking great, man.
Yeah, that's why I was like, all right, I should at least give this a shot. Plus they were not produced much. It was literally me and a phone just taking, this is what I'm doing, throw it in there, and then, you know, quick little,
that is
10 minute edit to just put the clips together.
That is the one thing that I like about TikTok, is that it's just so like raw. It's like spit and sawdust. It's just great. It's the one thing I do like about that, is that it's not overly edited. It just is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that is what makes it good. Cause I mean, there are some people who spend, you know, hours on a single TikTok, you know, trying to, if it's like evolved with an edit or something, which For me, I just can't spend that much time on a TikTok.
Is there like,
like, I kind of like the informal aspect of it too.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely, man. Definitely. Right, dude. Thank you so much for coming on. Go follow him, everyone. Go watch his videos and go get cooking. Keep safe and hopefully catch you soon, man.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate you reaching out. And yeah, it was great. Great to talk to you, Will.
Big love, man. And that's a wrap. I love that. Loved talking about food. I hope you all did as well. It was really nice to get away from the music for a podcast. And I'm going to be doing more of these. So would love it if you could hit subscribe and review in the bottom. And share it to all your friends. And yeah, keep safe. Have a great one. Big love.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.